All right. What about a round of applause for Greg? Let's get the energy back in the room.
Thank you. All right, cool. So we're going to cover two more things. We're going to look at how to make our website more effective, and I'm going to be really meaningful, specific about things that you can do for that to make give you a really, really clear roadmap on that. So when we talk about making our website more effective, it's really about so that it captures more leads, makes more sales, but also that people understand, you know, what it's about and whether or not it's for them. And then after that, we're going to look at generating leads with Google AdWords. But depending on how we're going for time, we might even have lunch and then do, you know, look at AdWords after the break. We'll see how we go for that. All right, cool. So when with your website, we need to think about multiple different sections, but we need to think about homepage, category pages, and also your individual product pages and checkouts and what's the calls to action. So we're going to start by looking at, you know, the initial homepage when people first get there. So when people first get to your homepage, they're not making a will I buy decision. They're making a will I stay or will I go decision. Okay, so it's very, very easy for them to click the back button, you know, and head back to Google or wherever they came from. So we really need to, within the first 5 or 10 seconds, we need to enter their WIFM, you know, the what's in it for me. So there's multiple ways that we're going to do this, but we need to, and it's not really all about us. It's about the benefits of what we can do for them. So I've listed a whole bunch of points here of design elements, things that we can do to communicate these points. So the first thing here is like a logo up in the top left. It doesn't have to be in the top left, but people are trained to look, you know, for it there now. If you have it in the middle and that kind of thing, it confuses people a little bit. And your logo should also work as a home button, you know what I mean, so that they can click back. Also, if you can put a positioning statement under there, if you're Apple or Microsoft, you may not need to, but for most small to medium businesses, it's great if you can put a positioning statement of exactly, you know, who you are and what you do. So there we're saying, you know, the collective, and then underneath it says digital marketing mastermind. So it's very, very quick and easy, you know, for people to see who we are, you know, and what we do. Here's another example, the retail solution. And it says retail, consulting, and training. So very, very quickly, you know, within 5 to 10 seconds, people know exactly who they are and what they do. Okay, so number two, a main benefit-ridden positioning statement. So somewhere on your homepage, a statement so that they can quickly get, you know, their WIFM, what's in it for me. So here we're saying, you know, digital marketing, coaching, and implementation services for business owners and entrepreneurs. See how I'm calling out, you know, who it's for. Everything you need to grow your business and profitability with leading-edge digital marketing. So there's a benefit-ridden statement for them. So for most companies, we're not big enough that everyone just instantly knows exactly what we're about. So it's a great thing to do, have some kind of benefit-ridden positioning statement. Here's another one again from the retail solution where they're saying, you know, delivering higher sales and profits for retailers through leading-edge consulting and training. So if you're a retailer and you're after a higher profits, you'd know, hang on, you know, these guys are talking directly to us and they do exactly, you know, what it is we want and exactly what it is that we need. So very, very cool. Okay, so the next thing let's talk about is navigation. So above the fold, meaning before they scroll down. Google really likes your navigation to be above the fold before you scroll down from a page quality type point of view. I call this double navigation where you have like your main products or services as one navigation, or it could be your main areas that you help with. And then you have another navigation menu which up the top, which is like an admin type one, you know, contact us, about us, why us. So see here in this quality concrete, you can see they do wire sawing, wall sawing, core drilling, floor sawing. So these are all the main things that they do. This is pretty much all they do. And it's you can get everywhere with one click. Because what we do know is every time we make them click again, we stand to lose up to 50% of them. We just know that from our stats. If you've got, you know, 15 different services, you still may want to put the main ones up there and then have an all services menu. But what most companies do is they put it all under, you know, all services or all products and make people search for it. And also the other thing to think about is revenue, or what drives revenue and what drives profit. We know as Western society how their eyes work and how their mouse works when they're reading. So I'll face the same way as you. Basically, what's happening is when they get to the website, they're starting up, you know, the top left, and then they're going down and across, you know, like that kind of thing. So that's why we want to put, you know, our main services over on the left and lesser services over on the right. So there's a hierarchy in your menu design. Okay, so here's another one that's doing the admin type menu. They've got their main services here and then contact details up there. And ideally with those contact details, like where it's a phone number, they should be able to click on it, and if they're on a mobile device, it should pop up saying, you know, do you want to call? You really want to make it as easy as possible, you know, for people to contact us. Okay, so the other thing to think about, you know, is really junction boxes on the homepage. No one's going to your homepage really to hang out on your website as a general rule, unless it's a like a landing page type page, like what Stephen was talking about. If you've got a big content site or a big products and services type site, they're really going there to find, you know, what it is that they're looking for. So your homepage is kind of a little bit like a roundabout. They've got to try and figure out where's the right way to go. So junction boxes, you know, in this example here, like optimize your website conversion, website development services, Google AdWords and pay-per-click services. It's very, very quick and clear, easy for them to get one click, you know, and get exactly anywhere they need to go. Historically, we used to do sliders like this where it had, you know, multiple slider images. It's now very common for it just to be one, because what's been proven, if you have multiple slider images, it actually decreases conversion. So you're better off to just have one if you're going to do it. Or the other way to do it is to have replace that whole slider section at the top with just big visual image junction boxes. So here, these are not the most beautiful images because, you know, there's not really that many sexy photos of, you know, putting a hole in concrete that you can do, sort of thing. But it's very, very clear and easy. If you were in this industry and you were a trade and you come along and you were looking for their core, you know, you needed someone who could do a core drilling job for you, you know, it wouldn't be very hard to find out, hey, these guys do that, and then it goes directly to a page. So sometimes up the top of your homepage, you know, making that junction boxes can really, really work well. Here's a more visual, beautiful one that we've done. And we saw this before with Muso City, where the homepage is really the categories of the main areas that they've got. So here, we didn't guess as to what were their biggest, what areas to put on the junction boxes. What we did was we looked at the last 2 years' sales data from eBay and the web and figured out what were their biggest categories. Because ukulele, we actually had no idea that that should have been on there. But they were selling a truckload of them. And it was only by looking at the sales data that we were able to make good informed decisions as to what should be, you know, on those junction boxes. Okay, so the fifth thing to think about, and really, you know, with these, what you don't want to do is just take notes on it and say, yes, I learned something. You want to take notes on it, and if you're missing any of these, add them to your website. You know, fix it, do it, and implement with speed, because success follows speed. Okay, so the fifth thing that we need to think about is prominent contact details, and preferably, you know, up the top right. So is there a contact us so they can click over and go to your contact page? Is there your phone number so that they can click on that, like we spoke about, and it automatically dials if they click on it. So like what we have in that example with the phone symbol there. And here is another one, yeah, with the same thing, a 1-300 number. If you don't have a 1-300 number, it is, unless you're just dealing, you know, in a local area, it is better to add a 1-300 or a 1-800 number. Excuse me, it makes your company have a bigger, you know, much more professional feel to your brand. And it's not very expensive either, about $30 a month, yeah, we find out for that stuff. Okay, so number six, we want to think about social proof. So where can we do social proof? So in this case, you'll see all the logos across the top. So customers include, and there's like Hyundai and Fuji and Vodafone and Sony, etc. You may not have those big brands that you've worked with, but if you do, it's fantastic to put those on there. You don't have to ask for permission to put them on there. In theory, legally, you probably should, but it's one of those you're better off to do it and beg for forgiveness if you need it and remove it. One thing we have found with this is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you put the logos up of big companies that you've worked with and you've dealt with, then you get more of those because they see, oh, well, hey, they worked with Hyundai. Oh, they've worked with Aldi. These guys must play at the right level for us, if that makes sense. And if you work with both big and small companies, you might want to put a blend of the two there. This is another more modern way we've been doing it. Often when we're putting logos on sites, we find if you change them to a gray scale like this, it may look more professional. So quick and easy way of doing it. And here's another way you can do social proof. If you're down the bottom here, so industry logos. If you're a member of any associations, any governing bodies within your industry, then that can be a great way to basically show where you stand in your industry and what your social proof is. Here, these guys are doing, this is another local Illawarra company, and they've won a lot of awards, or they've been associated with a lot of awards. So they're listing, their awards down here. So it's just fantastic social proof. So wherever you can, you want to get social proof happening. Remember, we might only have a few seconds to win them over. So if they can see that you've got some great awards, then, that can really, really help in your favor. Okay, so number 7 is an explainer video or a sales video. So who's been here, been awake at 2 in the morning and bought themselves an ab blaster or something like that? A couple? Yeah, I got one under the bed at home. No, actually, our 10-year-old son, Cameron, he was funny a couple of weeks ago. Oh, no, it would have been a couple of months ago now. What's the ninja thing called that does the fruit vegetables? Nutri Ninja, was it? Or it's just Nutribullet Ninja or something. Yeah, Nutribullet, that could be it. Anyway, Jules bought one. That's my wife. And our son, it's still in the box and it's on the thing. And our son Cameron comes in and he goes, "Oh, thank God." And we're like, "What do you mean, thank God?" And he goes, "Oh, I was watching the cartoons. The ads came on for this." He goes, "It would have went for like half an hour." And he goes, but I really, really wanted one, and now you've got it. So thanks." So the advertising worked on it, even on him. And he's a 10-year-old boy that doesn't even like fruit and veggies, but he wanted one. So if you watch an infomercial, in a 22-minute time period, they're doing the same formula over and over again 4 times. Does anyone know what the formula they're doing is? Now, I'll tell you, it's one of the most important marketing formulas I've ever learned. It's problem, I'll state it twice so you get it, aggravate, solution, prove, call to action. So they're stating the problem, and then they're aggravating it so that you really feel that problem, and you also know that they, you can also feel that they understand that know the problem, but they really want you to be feeling it. And they say things like, they'll do a transition to the solution, saying, "But it doesn't have to be that way. There's a better way of going about it." And that's when you introduce your product or your service. And then you'll do a proof element, so prove. So this has been used by thousands of other business owners before you, or it's helped, 360 other carpet cleaners or whatever it is. And then the call to action. Grab yours today. Speak to our friendly team on 1-300-da-da-da-da-da or click the button below now to get started. So problem, aggravate, solution, prove, call to action. So that's a great marketing formula to know in just about anything that you write. So often we'll do an explainer video on a homepage. And the idea is so that people can get it, in 1 to 2 minutes. If it takes you half an hour to explain it, then it's probably not going to work. So here on this one, I'll just see where there's... Now, what I'll press play on this video from up here. And even if we just listen to the first minute, and then try and listen to the problem, aggravate, solution, prove...
The current state of retail is challenging.
Okay.
Many retailers finding traffic counts are down.
So he's stating the problem.
Spending less per visit. Competition is at an all-time high and will continue to get tougher. And customers are now buying online in droves. Against this backdrop, it is challenging to recruit and retain the best talent.
Aggravating the problem.
Research shows us that customer service levels are at an all-time low, with nearly 60% of customers believing that customer service has declined over the past 5 years. Furthermore, over half of these consumers didn't purchase as a result of poor customer service. The retail landscape looks bleak, but it doesn't have to be this way. At the Retail Solution,
so here at Transition, it doesn't have to be that way.
Retail service and then can be turned around, and sales can grow significantly even in the current economic landscape. Unlike most
Yeah, so then they went into a solution, you know, after that. So that's just one way of, you know, doing video very, very effectively. Here's another way we're doing video, you know, on our homepage. So here with Santosha, they're selling experiences, but we're using video on the homepage here. It's got no sound, but what it does is it future paces people so that they can imagine what it would be like if they go away for that month in Bali and do the yoga teacher training. It's just an amazing, immersive experience. So we don't have any firm data on whether or not that's contributed to sales, because they're pretty much always at capacity anyway. But that's the idea behind it, to future pace them. Okay, so the eighth thing to think about, you know, in this area on your homepage is, can you put some, you know, benefit sales copy down lower, or can you put a blog on there as well? So the advantages of having a blog on there is Google will really like that your site is being re-indexed, your homepage is being re-indexed all the time. You're putting new, fresh content on it. But the other advantage of having, you know, benefit sales copy chunks, and often we'll do that, you can see where we've got a headline, a subheadline, an image, you know, an image here, and then rotating from left to right, sort of Apple style. That works really, really good on home pages. Or, and there's another example of it done here in the gym space. But here, you know, we're just putting our blog content on there. And now we're focusing on building this into a multi-voice authority blog so that people come back to it, you know, more and more. And Google really loves that. Okay, so that talks a lot about homepage now. So what about category page? And this can be very, very similar to what we saw out with the homepage stuff. So let's look at how effective category page design. We spoke about this, the homepage already can be work like a category page if we get rid of that main slider at the top and have junction boxes on there. Or you can have a slider and then junction boxes directly below that, like in those examples. Here's another one that does a combination of the two. It's got like a main slider area and then junction boxes, you know, directly below that. And this one's, you know, doing very, 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 very well. Most of us have multiple products and services. Okay, so often you'll go to someone's services page and then it's just a list of services. Ideally, you want to break that out into visual images for your products or services and turn that, you know, into junction boxes to split them out that way. And again, try and make it so that your top priority ones, you know, top left and that kind of way. So like you can see in that example. And see the headline there, you know, which yoga teacher training is right for me? And then there's an image of it and then some text about it so that they can choose. And the idea is to try and get them within one click off to the page, because we can't have all these things on one page. Like, we can't describe all of these services on one page. We can just have a summary of them that hints up to one page, because Google says that a page that is about multiple things is effectively a page that it's about nothing, okay? Because Google wants a page to be like the definitive source of knowledge on that one thing. So if you're describing your, you know, your plumbing service and your electrical service and your sweeping service all on one page, that's okay if it's a category page and you're just summarizing it and sending them over to a page about your plumbing. But what we see is a lot of companies describe them all in one page and that's all they've got. And so none of those things will ever rank in Google for anything. So that's the problem. And then you can, you know, dive down deeper. So here what we're doing is we've built good calls to action in. So this is like upcoming events type junction box category page. They've got an image of it. They've got some like headline when it's on. See, there's a link here to get the full info. But then there's calls to action as well. So they can enroll now or they can inquire now. So they can take, you know, can take action from there as well. And this page is working really, really well. You might be thinking, but what about if I've got a lot of products or services? Then that's when you can get into a whole nested design, meaning you've got top-level categories and then you've got subcategories below it. So here, you know, if we had presentation skills training, customer service, etc., if they then clicked on presentation skills training, it would then take them down into what are the different ones under that. So sometimes you can have too many to have all in one set of junction boxes, and so that's how you can split that down, you know, from a design point of view. And you'll see we've done the same here with Muso City. They've just got too many products to have all in one set of junction boxes. So start off like that. And so here from guitars, and then if you go click on guitars, then down within guitars, and what have you got within there? You know, classical, electrical, and all the other type of guitars. They click on that, and then they're exactly, you know, where they want to go. You can also, you know, subdivide by industry, which works really, really well. So what are the industries that you service? We found these pages, while they don't get a lot of traffic, they're very, very high converting. So if you can say we do this for the mining industry, then if someone's looking at it from the mining industry and you're speaking directly to them, they know that you already play at the right level, especially if you can have examples in there of other things that you've done before. Like examples we've done is when it's in the education space, and sometimes people might have to have, what is it, like child safety working accreditations and that kind of stuff. So some of those things can really help you to win business, can help you to win jobs. So that's what these ones work. This is what we call a problem solver category page. Can work really, really well as well, where they're basically here we're saying, you know, conditions we can help with. And so someone might be able to, they may not be searching for neuroplasticity of the brain type service, but they may be searching for natural help with ADHD, and then being able to, you know, click on an ADHD page and then go off to a page that all talks all about ADHD and natural solutions specifically for it. So this is a great way. Often people will just list their services, but not really list the things that they can help with and do a page about those things that you can help with. So often you kind of need to rework the data, but done, you know, in a separate way. Here's another example in the physical therapy, physio type space. And we're saying, you know, conditions we can help with, such as, you know, back pain and neck pain and muscle strains. So while you might not click on the physio page, do you think if you had a sore neck, do you think you'd click on that? Do you know what I mean? So we also then know people who hit there are specifically interested in that thing. So you can get really, really granular, you know, with your remarketing as well. And then see, they've also got the physio pages. So they had, this page was all about the common conditions they help with, and then this one is all about the services that they offer. And so they don't care which way people find the info that they want, but just have multiple ways to find the info that they want. All right, so that really looks now, we've talked about how to make our homepage more effective. We've talked about how to make our category pages and junction boxes more effective. So now let's look at our main product or services pages. One thing to think about with this is not every page on your site is created even as well. If you think about your own services, you've probably got maybe it's one, two, or three services or products that result in more revenue than everything else. So they may be considered money pages on your site, and they may be pages that it's worth getting a professional copywriter to write something for those pages, or get a professional graphic design, you know, to do something for those pages. So just think about with your own business, you know, where's the money coming from? And then what pages are for those, and then let's optimize them, get some professional help, you know, to really make those happen. So, but all this that I'm going to show you, it's really none of it's guessed, because we've driven over 1.8 million leads and we've managed over 5 million in clicks. So we've had a lot of data, you know, to figure this stuff out. So product page design. So things that are going on here. So this is a money page. In this business, over 90% of the business comes through this one page on the website. So as you can imagine, we do quite a bit on it. So headline, sub-headline, but above that, so things to keep Google happy, you know, is the logo and navigation above the fold. Headline, sub-headline, and then like all this calls to action above the fold, and we're using sort of like traffic light colors here. And then the video as well. You can just see absolutely how much happening before they have to scroll down. And in this case, we more than doubled the response when we added the professional video. So that was $2,000, you know, very, very well spent, considering that they're selling a $2,000 course. And when I first spoke to the customer about this, she was hesitant about whether or not she wanted to spend the money, you know, on the video. But really, really, you know, worked out. And then this page has got, you know, visual sections, you know, like this, broken. It's very modern, you know, where it's broken up into sections like that. And ideally, with that sales copy, you want to try and get into the head of the prospect and figure out everything that they would want to know about it. I'll show you a really good example on that in a minute. But here they're saying, you know, training overview and who it's for and what you'll personally get from the training, that kind of thing. So once you've completed this training, you'll be able to. So, because one thing that we've seen is if your page is just full of text, people won't really read it. what we can see from mouse track studies and eyeball studies is that how people read websites is they start up the top and they look at headlines, they look at subheadlines, they look at images, they look at text below images, and they look at bullet points. And then only if they find something that interests them will they then go and read that paragraph, you know, below it. But they won't, if you've just got paragraphs and paragraphs of text, people will not read that unless they're hyper, you know, hyper interested in what it is that you've got to offer. So it's worth knowing that and breaking it up. So here, this is interesting. So we've got, so we're selling a 2.5 grand course. So here, 2.8. So which of these do you think is the most popular? So number one, secure my place, $350 deposit. Number two, 5 easy payments of $598. Or number three, the whole enchilada, $2,890. Okay, so who thinks option one is the most popular option? Secure my place deposit? Couple? Okay, who thinks option two, easy payment plans, the most popular? Okay, cool, maybe 2/3. What about who thinks option three, the whole enchilada? Okay, yeah, maybe 1/5 of the room. Okay, so I actually thought the same thing as you guys. I thought the easy payment plan would be the most popular. But we near doubled the business with this one, you know, secure my place deposit. So, yeah, 1 out of 2 people basically secure their place, and then it says underneath it, remaining course investment will be, you know, secured 7 days before the course starts. So isn't that incredible? That's just like one little... So on that, what I just showed you, adding the video doubled response and adding that other thing, you know, of secure my place deposit doubled response as well. So the two things when compounded together, you know, really, really started to make a difference. Then when we added Google AdWords to it and we added remarketing and the different types of remarketing, then we really, really, you know, started to build a machine. And this business, we doubled in 5 months and we tripled in 12 months. And that's, and I've just shown you now how we did that. Also here, once we make the offer, we're then taking away their risk, you know, offering a guarantee. So you learn that at copywriter school, anytime you can, you know, make an offer, you can take away the risk with a guarantee, you know, then it's like a 1-2 punch and it works really, really well. So here's one of those, again, a product or service page where I was talking about getting into the mind of the prospect and figuring out what is it that they really, really want to know. So here, this is an X-ray page. Not really that exciting, okay, but what they want to know is, you know, what is an X-ray? What happens during my X-ray? How long will it take? Do I need an appointment? How much will it cost? Does that make sense? So we're answering all the questions that they want to know anyway, so that they can then make an informed buying decision. And then we've got really, really good calls to action. So how can we help, you know? So those have been our 4 magic words. How can we help? That's the best, one of the best calls to action you can ever have, you know, on your website, and then inquire now. Because it's not asking for a, you know, get a firm quote so that we can then hassle you through the sales process or anything like that. It's not as far down the sales cycle, and it just, yeah, really, really works. And then see here, you know, phone inquiries and bookings. And so they can click on that and, you know, boom, up comes the next phone, you know, like they can dial straight away. And then here, related services. And Google likes that and people like it as well, because, you know, what if you were on the X-ray service but it wasn't actually what you needed? What you really needed was the dental X-ray service. Boom, you could click on it and go across in one. So that works, yeah, really, 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 really well. And if they click on here, you know, inquire now, basically what that does is it pops up to a light box. So notice the form wasn't built in on the page. The form was, they've got to press the button and then it hides the rest of the website behind that light box and or makes it dark, and then it just brings the form field forward. And this has been proven to increase conversion by as much as 20 to 30%. So you get 20 to 30% more leads by doing that. And again, down here, it's saying, you know, how can we help? So you're asking them that question, you know, which is very, 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 very handy. And then it goes on to more, you know, where can I get my X-ray done? How do I prepare? And then down the bottom, it's saying, you know, your next steps. It's, you don't want to just assume they know what to do at the bottom of the page. When they get to the bottom of the page, you really, really want to tell them what to do. So a lot of this stuff might not sound that exciting. It might sound pretty obvious. But what about have you actually got all of these things on your website? And if you're not, then what can you do to turn it into action to make it so that you do have these on there? Because everyone always focuses on how do we get more traffic? You know, how do we get more from Facebook or from Google or whatever? But if you can optimize the conversion of your site, then when you get more traffic, you're going to get more results out of it. You know, you're going to pull more leads out of the same amount of traffic, that kind of thing. So here's another example of a effective product or service page where it's got the images up the top that rotate through where you're selling a visual type thing. You'll again notice calls to action above the fold. We're always trying to get the calls to action above the fold. The other thing I didn't mention was everything I'm showing you is responsive. So that's an important thing. In April of this year, 2015, Google changed the rules. So if you don't have if your website is not responsive, meaning because you've got to now cater for like TVs, desktops, laptops, tablets, phablets, and phones. You know what I mean? It has to adjust to all those things. Phablet is like a note, a Samsung Galaxy Note or the new iPhone 6 Plus. It's not really a tablet. It's not really a phone. It's a cross in between. It's a phablet. Yeah, that's why I think the that iPhone 6 Plus, that size is actually going to become more and more popular. The reason why is because it's like Lord of the Rings, the one ring that rules them all. It's kind of going to become like your one device that rules them all. You've just always got it. With Google, when you make a new website refresh, you don't want to lose your search engine optimization. Any good stuff you've done for search engine optimization. Every time that there's a refresh, there is a risk that you could go backwards to go forwards. But we know as of April 2015, so if anyone here doesn't have their website that's either responsive or you've got a mobile optimized version of it, basically Google's hating you right now as far as they're not sending you traffic from mobile sites. So it's really, really important. Sometimes you've got to go backwards to go forward. But as a general rule, if you've kept all the URLs the same, the web addresses the same, then you won't have a problem. Yeah, you won't have a problem with that at all. It's if you change up all the URLs, then you could really, really, go backwards to go forward sort of thing. So, so here, where we've got visual images and that kind of stuff. So wherever you can add visuals into your sales copy as well so that it's more interesting and more engaging, that's even better. This is one of ours, headline, subheadline, video, and then that inquire now button up the top. Again, it does the lightbox thing. And notice on this one, it's sorting and sifting the leads. So it's saying, what are you doing in from a business revenue point of view, and then what are your goals? So that when leads come in, we can see whether, they're A's, B's, or C's, depending on whether the likelihood of we'll be able to work with them or help them, to achieve what it is that they want to achieve. And then that button at the bottom, it's a little bit hard to see, but it's a green button. We always use traffic light colours wherever possible, because like even my 7-year-old, he knows green means go, at the traffic lights, that kind of thing. So whenever you can use green, from our experience, it's been better. Yellow we often use as a secondary colour. So we have a primary of green and a secondary of the yellow stuff, and that works really, really well. Another little thing on there, a lot of these might seem like little things, but all together they all really, really start to add up. So instead of saying send your inquiry now, it says send my inquiry now. The word my instead of your is like another 10%, boost, that kind of thing. So because they're not thinking about themselves as your, they're thinking about themselves as my. So that stuff all really, really matters. And that thing's just a lead machine. Another thing we do is we add a thing called a hello bar over a lot of our sites. You get from hellobar.com and it pushes the website down a little bit and adds like that big bar, over the top. So here we do that to put, so it's like here where it says, copy the world's best Facebook ads, get your Facebook ads swipe file, click here. It adds that bar across the top. And this helps to pull more leads out of your website. You don't have to change up your existing design. If they click on that, then it takes them over to a landing page that's specifically designed. This thing converts at 42%. So it's a good one to model. It's got a logo and it's got some navigation above the fold, headline, subheadline. Here's some benefit-ridden bullets. You'll notice that the bullets have got bolding on them so that people can skim read them. We know people don't spend a lot of time reading, that they're going to skim read. There's an attractive, image of it. And then there's a call to action. So big green button. And again, it's saying, my, not your. So hopefully you should be able to see some of these trends. And that, like I said, that thing converts at 42%. So it means every 1,000 people I send there, we get 420 more people, onto the database. But one thing we see with this is most people, once they get them onto the database, they don't do multiple touches with them. So when you click that button, it pops up to a light box and it does exactly, like what we spoke about before. But this is really the secret sauce. Everyone thinks about traffic of how do I buy more traffic, okay? But some of the traffic you can generate yourself for free. So one of the best forms of traffic can be people who are on your email list. So can I ask, when you get someone onto your email list at the moment, is there anyone here that has more than 3 automated touches that go out? Okay, yeah, 1 or 2. Okay, so what we've found is this is like something that most people will do between 0 and 3 automated touches. But if you just think about, okay, well, they've put their hand up for this. What else could be a value to them? You don't want to be just hitting them with offers all the time, but what you want to do is a combination of gives, you know, so giving them valuable content related to what they've asked for, and asks. So we do like, you know, they opt in, and then we might give them something. We deliver on the promise, then we might give them something good, you know, for example, a great video on the blog, give them something good, and then we might ask, saying, you know, do you want a hand with that, that kind of thing. And then most people, if they even did anything, they would stop there. But I'm lucky enough I get to travel to the States a lot. And one of the guys I work with over there, you know, Frank Kern, he's just a master of this kind of direct response. And I had this conversation with him a couple of months ago, and I said to him, you know, one thing I learned from you is most people stop. And if we just keep bolting on more campaigns, provided that we're adding value, then there's no limit to the amount of money we can make, right? Am I missing anything? He goes, no, that's it in a nutshell, but no one does it. I was just like, wow, that's incredible. And because even the same offer, you might think, okay, well, I sent them to an offer saying, you know, do you want a hand with that? And that's a video, okay? So a video saying, do you want a hand with it? You know, give us a call, we'll have contact us, we'll see whether we're a fit for each other and do a strategic consult. So you might think, oh, well, you've done that offer, there's no other way you can do it. But that was done via video. So what we can do with this campaign stacking now is, so they've opted in, you know, we've done give, ask, and then we might give some more stuff, and then ask. We might actually even be asking the same offer if we've got one main product or service, but this time it might be done a completely different way. It might be effectively like a PDF, a letter to them on a PDF saying, hey, I've got this letter for you, and it basically says the same thing as what the video said before, but some people will have responded and looked at the video, and some people won't. Does that make sense? So it's okay to repurpose the same question multiple different ways, because then we give them some more stuff, and then we do another one again, which is a letter from Jules from our office says, hey, you know, Greg was just saying, you know, where are you at? And that kind of thing, where are you at with your business? And shoot us a note back. And then we get all these outbounds. If you want to see an example of this, this is at, I'll write it up for you. It's collective.com.au. If you want to see, like, save these emails, it shows you how to, like, a masterclass in how to nurture a lead. It's at FB Swipe. Because one thing you can do is say, oh, you can save those emails and then say, here, Greg gave something greater value. What can I do to give us greater value? Here, he gave something else greater value 3 days later. What can I give something greater value? Then here, he made an offer. What's our first offer? What can we do in that space? So sometimes one of the quickest ways to get going is modeling. Remember, this is traffic that you own and that you have control of, but no one does it. And why I think it's amazing is because of this, the exponential nurture effect. This is what I call it. So the more people that you add into the sequence and the more touches you have, it builds up like an exponential curve. It goes absolutely crazy. So here in this example, there's about 20 touches in that sequence that I told you should model. But if you had 500 people going through it at any one time, which is roughly what I do at any one time, that's 10,000 automated emails going out directly to the right people at the right time, helping them. And that this one thing that I just showed you, you know, there and with the exponential nurture effect, that's why our business just has a never-ending stream of leads just spitting in. And because they all think that I've written to them personally, not all, but a lot of them think, and so they'll call in the office, oh, Greg sent me a note about whatever and said I should give you guys a call and see whether you can help us. You know, and so those sort of leads come in every day. So I know my business might be a little bit different to yours, but don't be thinking, hang on, you know, my business is different. Think about the concept and how can you now take that and get that working in your business. You know, emailing people every day is going to result in the most money. But I don't find that people want to be emailed every day. So I might do 3 emails in the first week and then maybe 3 emails in the second week and then slowing down to, you know, 2 emails a week or something to that, or an email every 3 days or every 4 days and that kind of thing. So really, I think, decide how you would want to be treated, but then don't be afraid to make the sale as well. Because I think a lot of people are afraid of selling. And I had this really good consult with this guy, Andrew Grant, who's a business coach that helped me out a lot when I was getting started. And he was saying to me, you know, it wasn't actually talking about me, he was talking about other people, but saying, you know, like if people are afraid of selling, then they've got to look at what they're selling, okay? So think about what you're selling now. Does your product or service genuinely help people? So if anyone doesn't answer yes to that, then this probably doesn't apply, but you might need to look at a different product or service. But if you can now say, yes, my product or service genuinely helps people, then if you're worried about selling it to people, then you're inwardly focused. You know, you're focused like this, and you're doing a disservice to them. But if it's, you know, if what I'm going to do is genuinely going to help you, if provided I'm not being, you know, like in your face and sleazy about it, but I'm just saying, hey, sing out if this is what we're doing, I think it really could really help you. You know, sing out if you want to chat about it. You know, that is not, yeah, you're doing someone a service by doing that. So if you're worried about selling, don't be inwardly focused, you know, be outwardly focused. So I don't know whether that helps anyone, but I know it definitely helped me when I got that. So, all right, cool. And then, you know, from there, so that's basically the things that we do about how to, you know, make a website more effective. Hopefully you've got a bit of a roadmap now of things. You should have really been able to build a list of the bits and pieces that you were missing. And then we'll look at how to crank that with AdWords. Yeah, I don't know the exact, you know, how Google ranks with accordion style, but what I do know is if you're putting it in an accordion style, you've got to assume that most people aren't going to see it. So if you've got multiple calls to action like that, you know, PDF and a spec doc and that kind of stuff, I would think about, you know, there's a visual hierarchy of it. Which is the most important one that I really want them to do? Have that up first. Which is this one I want them to get next? Have that second. And sometimes it's okay to have them directly below each other. Download the PDF, get the spec document, you know, inquire, you know, and have that kind of thing. Even on e-commerce stores now, something that we're doing that's working really, really great, especially in B2B type e-commerce, you know, everyone has just the add to cart button. We're now adding a second button beside it that says inquire now. And then they're getting a heap of leads for saying, oh, you know, does your Logitech clicker work with a Mac? Yeah, sure, it does. You know, do you want us to... Do you need a hand with it? You know, that kind of thing. And yeah, getting people across the line.